This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Brandon Kravitz. We are at rotowire.com. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Really looking forward to this show. Should be a fun day. Obviously, we got to start off with LeBron James. He signing with the 76ers. We'll be talking about that in detail. But Sal Capaccio is going to join us, talk a little Buffalo Bills today. My buddy Joe Sheehan, best baseball writer on the planet, joins us in 30 minutes to talk a little bit about today's baseball slate. And we finish with our best bets of the day. It is Dinger Friday. Let us just exult in the aura that is Dinger Friday. Very excited about that. Make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever the heck you listen to your podcast. Brandon, we woke up this morning. Shams did it again. He shocked the world. Actually, Rich Paul shocked the world. He announced it publicly, so it wasn't really like Shams had the scoop here. He just relayed it very quickly. LeBron James to the Philadelphia 76ers, 2 years, $8 million. LeBron said it's going to be his last decision.
I am shocked. I really thought that, like everybody else, that he was going to end up in Miami or Cleveland. I even thought the Golden State idea was one that had some legs to it. So I think we have to absorb this. This is not AI. This isn't fake. This is real news. So we have to ask ourselves why. Why Philadelphia? LeBron made it clear that he wanted to do as little as possible. I'm sort of paraphrasing his wording, but in an attempt to win another championship, he didn't want to have to carry the load. He did way too much of the work the last couple of years with the Los Angeles Lakers. The guy is now past 40 years old. What he is doing at this age is still one of the best players in the NBA. When he's able to hit that fastball, he can help a team win a championship, but he's not going to be able to do it from game one to game 82 and then carry a team through the playoffs. He's not the defender that he used to be. He doesn't have the motor that he used to have, but he's still incredible. The 76ers really check a lot of the boxes that he was looking for. They have Jaylen Brown now, who can carry the load offensively and is certainly equipped enough on defense to where this team isn't just loaded up on one side. They have an Energizer Bunny. In fact, Jeff, they have two in Tyrese Maxey and VJ Edgecombe. And now whatever Joel Embiid gives this team is gravy. So LeBron can come in. He can play the Mariano Rivera closer role. And this team is clearly good enough to win a championship now.
Yeah, they are the third betting favorite, tied with the Knicks at 9-1 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Interesting that the Knicks have slightly shorter odds to win the East, plus 320. The Sixers are at plus 370. Do you like those odds?
Well, I have a golden rule, Jeff. I will never bet into big time earth shattering news like this. I would not recommend such things after the Giannis trade. And this right now is a really good example as to why. If you had bet the overreaction immediately after Giannis went to the Miami Heat, that ticket is feeling really old, really fast. And we're not even to August yet. So you can't bet the news. If you had bet the Philadelphia 76ers to win the title yesterday, you would have gotten them at 20-1. Now they're down to 9-1. Do I think that they will be coming out of the East? Yeah, if I had to lay a prediction out there right now, but we have to be price sensitive in this betting world. And I just think betting into this today is a bad idea. So that's just a general rule of thumb. You are not going to get rich as a sports bettor betting into big time news like this after the news hits and these books get this wave of action.
Yeah, speaking of those Miami Heat, you know, their odds now are 11th highest at 30-1, 11-1 to win the East. What the heck do the Heat do now? You know, I guess they go out and get DeMar DeRozan. I mean, they need multiple players just to field a lineup here.
Big time. And I think that's exactly why LeBron didn't end up there. I think when you start to really pare this down and make sense of it all, now that we know the decision is in, why wouldn't he go to Miami? Well, they've got the coaching, they've got the front office leadership and all of that, but outside of Giannis and Bam, there's not a lot else going on with the Miami Heat. And the games are too redundant with Bam and Giannis. And what is LeBron bringing to the table that those guys aren't in terms of being that bull that can get to the basket. Those two handle that load quite well. I think they do have to go after DeMar DeRozan, maybe a Klay Thompson, and just start to fill out the roster that way. But if you're holding that Miami Heat ticket, you cannot be feeling good today. It feels like right now there's a tier of two at the top between the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks, but the East is incredibly fascinating, Jeff. I think Detroit, let's not completely forget about them. They were the one seed this year in the Eastern Conference. I think that Toronto can still be a player in the conference if this Kawhi thing can get figured out. Boston is never to be underestimated. Miami, I'm not exactly excited about them, but they have Giannis. You can't rule them out. And how quickly we have discarded the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Eastern Conference Finals participant from last year. And you still have three teams in Orlando, Atlanta, and Charlotte that are still young enough to where they could take monumental leaps if a couple of their stars like a Paolo or Nikhil Alexander-Walker or Brandon Miller hit that next level. I've mentioned a lot of teams here, Jeff, and I still haven't mentioned the biggest X factor in all of this, which is the Indiana Pacers. So
that's right. That's right. I was wondering.
It's the Knicks.
This disrespect will not stand. But 16-1 to win the East for the Pacers, getting Halliburton back. I guess all the lobbying to get LeBron to join them didn't pay off. But it is funny, though, that the Sixers weren't prominently mentioned as like a favorite there. It was the Heat. It was the Warriors. It was the Cavs. It's interesting that it ends up in Philly instead. What does this do fantasy-wise for Tyrese Maxey? The breakout guy last year. He was a league winner if you drafted Tyrese Maxey. His usage is going to change quite a bit. Same with VJ Edgecombe. Even Jaylen Brown, who they traded for. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah, and I think it's going to take some time to really comb through that and give a proper answer. But Tyrese Maxey is still going to have the ball in his hands plenty. I think part of the reason, in fact, I know that part of the reason LeBron James is there is so that he can watch the Energizer Bunny that is Tyrese Maxey go wild, and he can just come in and pick his spots. I don't think this is we're going to see a different LeBron James. I don't think he went there so that he could change the trajectory of Tyrese Maxey. I think it's more so, riding the coattails would be a little bit too dismissive of LeBron's game, but at least throughout the regular season, I think that is what he hopes to do. So fantasy-wise, is he going to average 28 points per game? Probably not, but I don't think he should be too far off of that. So he's a guy that right now, I mean, good luck double teaming him, and that he can beat the one-on-one. So I wouldn't be too nervous. The assist numbers you would think would go up. I think he's probably going to average 7 or 8 assists per game as well.
Yep. I think you're probably right about that one there. So many more other permutations we're going to talk about, but quick note before we can keep talking about the LeBron news and just encircling it here. Do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Make sure to check it out. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use promo code VEASAN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VEASAN. Brandon, I want to talk about the Golden State Warriors angle here. They kind of diminished as one of the betting favorites, but I know there was some talk about them, bringing the band back together, bringing in like LeBron, Steph Curry, because they really bonded over the Olympics. Draymond was back. Porzingis. They did get Jaxel Lindenborg, and he looked amazing in the summer league there. That's a good ad for him, and maybe you see a bigger role than we might have expected right away out of this. How are you handicapping the Warriors, and what might be like the last hurrah for some of these players?
I didn't really like their chances with adding LeBron, and they're significantly worse in not getting him now. He left a lot of teams in the lurch, and you've got a city in Cleveland as well that I can only imagine what sports talk radio there sounds like today. They must be heartbroken, but that was going to be more of a feel good. It would have been a lot of fun to watch. They would have been an obvious primetime Christmas Day game, but this is not this was not a team that even with LeBron James was going to compete for a championship or even to come out of the West. And the thing is, we see this with Kawhi going East. LeBron went East. These guys that are older that want to attach themselves to really good rosters for a chance to win a championship, the West isn't where to do it. The East is loaded. We talked about all of the teams that could potentially come out of that conference. The West is not wide open. The West is dominated by two teams, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. And based on the age and trajectory of their stars, they're not going anywhere. And then on top of it, if you happen to have one of those teams fall off, well, Nikola Jokic is standing by as well. So the West is a much easier prediction, but a much tougher path. And I don't see how right. Golden State makes it out of alive in that conference.
Well, yeah. And OKC and San Antonio are living rent-free in the West of the Western Conference's heads. You know, you look at what Minnesota did to turn over their roster this offseason. You saw what the Lakers, you know, the Lakers have turned over the roster. They moved on from LeBron. Even teams like Portland, you know, have, you know, made significant changes this offseason, all because they know you have that wall that awaits you. And if you even happen to get to the Western Conference Finals, you're probably lucky to get to the semifinals. Minnesota is the one team that is interesting that will tug on Superman's cape a little bit, at least in the playoffs. You know, Finch does a great job just getting them prepped for every particular series, but they changed significantly as well. All right. That's going to wrap up our LeBron talk. Well, I'm sure we'll have more of it across the channel here over the rest of the day as more ramifications come through. But we're going to shift our conversation over to the NFL next. Sal Capaccio is going to join us. We're going to talk a little Buffalo Bills. Big changes for them this offseason. Head coach, big wide receiver added. All that and more coming up next here on Prop Points on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Brandon Kravitz here from rotowire.com. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is the great Sal Capaccio. You can catch him on WGR. You can catch him on the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. And of course, follow him on Twitter at Sal Sports. Sal, training camp's almost here. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to go from the drip, drip, drip of news to the fire hose any second now.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's here right now because it's been the longest dead period I can ever remember. I mean, the Bills wrapped up their mini camp back on, I think, June 14th. And now you go till July 29th. And that's because of the NFL calendar and Labor Day being so late, which is why this happens. But suddenly it's here and we're ready to rock and roll.
What about DJ Moore? How's he fitting in early on? And what do you expect from him as the Bills are putting a lot on his shoulders to carry the load in terms of Josh Allen's weaponry?
Yeah, I mean, they went out and got him for a reason, right? To be the number one wide receiver. They didn't really have one since Stephon Diggs left. But the Bills have had still a prolific passing game without Stephon Diggs, but just not that guy, that money guy that they can always rely on in those situations. And I think that's what's been missing on this offense. And they're still, however, going to go with a, you know, everybody eats mentality is what they like to say, which means, you know, they're going to spread the ball around and you have to do your job. And it's not going to be one guy all the time. But I do think that when you are facing a critical down and you need that player, DJ Moore is a guy the Bills are going to rely on. How's he fitting in? Well, I mean, you go back to OTAs and minicamp. That's all we can really, you know, go off of so far. And it seemed like the chemistry was there right away. And I will tell you guys, I was personally impressed with DJ Moore, but a lot of the players that had never seen him or been around him really spoke highly of, man, he's like a way better player than we thought, or athletic, and the different, he can win at all levels. He can win, you know, vertically, horizontally. And I think that's what the Bills are looking for. A guy can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, as much as he does in the passing game, he's also a really good blocker downfield as well. I think that's underrated for looking at wide receivers. It's an offseason of change for the Bills. You know, it's the Sean McDermott era is over. We have a brand new stadium this year. Is it going to be a different look and feel for this team, especially offensively?
No, I think offensively they won't be very different. It'll be especially defensively because Sean McDermott is now, you know, gone, and they've run the same defense for the last 9 years. It's a completely different defense under Jim Leonard. The same guy who was running the offense is now the head coach, so that's not going to change. And you still have Josh Allen. The only thing different is bringing in DJ Moore. I mean, I think they will attack a little bit more aggressively, vertically. I also think they'll use the running backs a little bit more in the passing game because Pete Carmichael will have an influence there. Pete Carmichael was with LaDainian Tomlinson with the Chargers. He was with Alvin Kamara with the Saints. And I think he'll have influence on that part of the offensive game. But I don't think we're looking at much of a change in offense. It's still Josh Allen. What you're really looking at is a very big overhaul on the defensive side, going from a 4-3 kind of stagnant, be where you're supposed to be really coachable and, you know, be, I guess, fundamentally sound to a very unpredictable Rex Ryan type Jim Leonard 3-4 defense.
From my view, I don't think you could have picked two more different personalities than the head coach previously for the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott and Joe Brady, who takes over now. I'm watching some of the press conferences. He almost feels like a kid in comparison. I've heard that they've been playing music at practice and OTAs. It just seems like a completely different vibe. That's fun in the summer, but is there any concern that things may be too loose, that losing that real army general type coach, but when things get tougher in the winter, that could be something that plays out negatively for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, let me say, first of all, I think every team plays music at practice. I've been through four head coaches. They all do, even Sean McDermott, all the time. Energetic. It's always very energetic, no matter what. You want music. You want your guys engaged and practice and energy going. So I don't think that's anything different that, you know, Joe Brady's doing. But yes, he is a very different personality than Sean McDermott, just like McDermott was from Rex Ryan. Isn't that what happens, guys? You fire a coach, you look for a totally different personality, and then that doesn't go, so you look for somebody else. I would say it this way. You know, Sean McDermott, the reason why he's a very good coach, and really he did a lot of great things in Buffalo, is because of how intense he was, how very on top of things he was. But because of that intensity, the pressure was always there and building and building. And when they went 9 years and didn't win a Super Bowl, I think that there had to be a sigh of relief and a balloon pop, so to speak, like a bit of the pressure relieved. And I think that's what Joe Brady represents, is, hey, let's take a breath here. Let's relax. Let's kind of get the vibes back going a different way. No doubt. It's a good question. We've all asked it. What happens in crunch time when Joe Brady, who's been Josh Allen's position coach and offensive coordinator, has to make critical decisions and has to be kind of the bad cop in the room, right? How is that going to go? We've asked him that. And he said he thinks it's going to go fine because his players understand him and know he's coming from a place of, hey, I'm not your friend, I'm your coach, but we have a good enough relationship where we can be honest with each other. And that's what, you know, he's banking on there. So it will be interesting to see. It's definitely different. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, we'll see exactly, you know, what happens as the season goes on with Joe Brady and how that turns out.
We're going to talk a little bit about the defense in a second, but first, the NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away and the smart money's already moving lines. Lock in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next month. You'll get instant access to the VSiN NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, and player props. Plus, we're including the new Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings to help you prep for your fantasy draft. Sign up now and you'll get full VSiN Pro access across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We're here with Sal Capaccio. You can catch him on Twitter at Sal Sports. He's also the host of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Sal, every year it seems like the Bills bring in a veteran pass rusher. It was Joey Bosa last year, Von Miller in the past. This year they're making their big bet on Bradley Chubb. What are your expectations with him? What are your expectations with this pass rush?
Yeah, so going from a 4-3 to a 3-4, like I said, it's going to look a little bit different. And I think they brought in Bradley Chubb, obviously, to rush the passer. But more than anything, they wanted a really good three-down outside linebacker. Really, that's going to be the hallmark of what this team has, is guys who can play three downs, they can rush the passer, they can stop the run, and they can come from anywhere. I think Jim Leonard, going back to his time I know as an assistant position coach, but in Denver under Vance Joseph, going back this time in Wisconsin when he was a defensive coordinator and then an interim head coach. And even when he was playing under Rex Ryan and his influence, you know, the big thing is he's going to send guys. You just don't know where they're coming from. So that could be Bradley Chubb or Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard in the middle. They are relying on, you know, Bradley Chubb, though, to help out with the pass rushers, no doubt. It's been definitely an area, as you mentioned, where the Bills have tried to kind of, you know, fix it, get the guy. It hasn't worked out. I mean, Von Miller was great until he got hurt the first year in Buffalo. And then obviously, you know, things changed after that. I think Bradley Chubb, then they go out and they draft T.J. Parker. And it's funny because Brandon Bean said he believes T.J. Parker is very similar to Bradley Chubb. So that's, I think, the kind of guy they want, a guy who can play all three downs, can give you pass rush ability, but is also good against the run.
So much of the defensive upside, though, is going to come down to the health and productivity of Ed Oliver. How is he doing? How's he feeling ahead of training camp?
Well, you know, Ed was dealing with some injuries last year. Unfortunately, he played the first game, was a monster against Baltimore, that big comeback week one. He's the one that ripped the ball out of Derrick Henry's hands, and he was great. You know, and then he had an ankle injury that game. He came back. He had another injury later. So, unfortunately, kind of a lost season for Ed. But we believe in Buffalo, after what Jim Leonard has said, after what Joe Brady said, that this scheme is going to be great for Ed Oliver. He's an undersized defensive tackle. We all know that. He'll be more of a, if you want to call it defensive end, that's fine. He might be on the end as a 3-4, but he's really going to be still a defensive lineman, defensive tackle with his hand down. They're going to give him more freedom in this defense. And I think that's a good thing for an Ed Oliver who is a penetrating, undersized defensive lineman. So he's not going to be a guy that's going to be asked to be an anchor and just hold his ground. He's a guy that's going to be asked to make plays.
The Bills' schedule is really front-loaded at Houston, against Detroit, the Chargers, Pats, and at the Rams, your first five games for the Bills. How important is it to get off to a good start? What constitutes a good start in those first five games?
It's a great question we ask all the time. It is tough. It's a tough overall schedule. They have a spot in the middle where maybe you can say, okay, well, you know, we can find some wins there. But you look down, up and down that schedule. You go late in the season, even you got Packers and Bears and Broncos, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. I think talking with most, you know, Bills fans, they have, what, six games before the bye. I think if they're 4-2, you're feeling pretty good. You'd love to be 5-1, but I think that's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask given that schedule to go 5-1. But if you can go 4-2, I think you're feeling really good considering the, you know, the teams on that schedule, and especially the Patriots who are in your division and the reigning AFC champions, obviously. The Texans, who it's been a house of horrors for the Bills for since they've gone to Houston. And then, of course, you do have the opening of the stadium in three straight games there, and that's going to be really special here in Buffalo, and nobody wants to, you know, open your new stadium with any L's. So I do think that, you know, 4-2 would probably have people feeling pretty good.
All right, quickly on the way out, the over-under on Bills wins this year is 10.5. Do you have the over or the under here?
Well, I would go over simply because they have Josh Allen. They do have the Dolphins and Jets still in their division, which I think the Jets will be improved, but we think the Dolphins, you know, aren't going to be a very good team. You should at least split with the Patriots. You'd hope you could do that. I know the schedule is tough, but I would say 11 wins would be about right. And I think if they have anything less than 10.5, you know, that could be a situation where you're thinking, okay, are you even making the playoffs at that point, which would be very disappointing.
Sal, awesome stuff. Really appreciate you coming on board, sharing your expertise. Enjoy training camp as much as one can, and really looking forward to this season. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sal Capasio, everybody. Joe Sheehan joins us next on Prop Points, taking a look at today's baseball slate. This is Prop Points on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. It's a full slate of baseball games today. And of course, we have to talk baseball for a couple segments. We got our my good friend, the best baseball writer I know, Joe Sheehan, joining us right now. You can check him out at joesheehan.com to check out the newsletter. Follow him on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan and on Blue Sky at Sheehan Newsletter. Joe, welcome, my friend. How are you doing? Thank you for joining us today.
Good, Jeff. It's nice of you to never tell people you only know two baseball writers.
Yeah, well, exactly. Hey, I have lots of people in the Niagara Falls area that I know that are good friends. Let's talk a little Cubs-Pirates to start off here. Matthew Boyd versus Jared Jones. Jared Jones really been good lately. We'll see how deep they let him go into the game. But what do you like in this particular game?
Well, I, was a little surprised, when you consider the difference between how good Jones has pitched versus the Pirates' bullpen, that the gap here between the full game line and the first five line was only 10 cents. It was 110 on the full game line. It's 120 for the Pirates, a favorite in the first five. You are getting Jones, so we know isn't going to work deep into the game, but when he's been on the mound, he's been fantastic. 17-1 strikeout to walk ratio over his last two starts. He's been dominant. Has an extra day of rest coming into this one as well. Matched up against Matthew Boyd, who's been effective, but I really like Jones. The gap here in the starting pitching matchup has me taking the Pirates for the first five innings.
Let's talk about the Diamondbacks at the nation's capital, taking on the Nationals. You are not going to go broke this year betting overs in national games. Their counterpart hasn't been bad either, by the way. 25 runs in the last two games for the Diamondbacks. Are we doubling down on the idea that neither team's really going to be able to slow the other down?
Absolutely, Brandon. You know, I think this is at 9.5, and you could legitimately take it at 10, maybe even 10.5. Nats Park has basically played like Coors this year. If you look, about 11.4 runs per game at Coors. Sutter Health Park is the only park where you're really getting a lot more runs scored between than Nats Park and Colorado. Now, that's not really a park factor thing so much as it is the Nats can hit and they can't pitch. Really sophisticated sabermetric stuff here. So I look at this matchup, and Eduardo Rodriguez has really been getting away with it this year, guys. Lefty, it's been effective, but you look at the gap between the ERA and the expected numbers, and it's really significant. So you get into that Nationals bullpen as well. They've got Zach Littell going today behind an opener in Carson Palmquist. And look, Zach Littell is a fly ball machine. He's a home run machine. So there are a lot of ways this game can get to 10 and even beyond. I would also say here, 9.5 is the line. But if you want to get cute, hey, it's Friday, guys. Have some fun. Look at some alt lines, 10.5, 11.5. I think we're looking at a very high scoring game here tonight.
They will be prominent. Zach Littell on Dinger Friday. That's just like a match made in heaven. Looking forward to that there. Nats at, you know, the Nats bullpen has been brutal so far. Over 20 blown saves and many of those traditional blown saves. I know they've made a real point of steering into going into youth, being younger. You know, I don't necessarily see them as buyers at the trade deadline, but it's easy to buy relief pitching at the trade deadline. It's the one thing you know you can get. Could you see them being buyers at all and trying to take a stab at this NL wild card?
There are a lot of teams, Jeff, that as we go into these last 10 days before the trade deadline are really playing for that decision. The Nats 52-51, they might be trapped by the standings a little bit. It's hard to sell if you're really in that kind of position, but I don't think they're looking to buy. They just, you know, their system is they're rebuilding it. Paul Toboni has come in from the Red Sox, and look, you don't hire a guy like Toboni if you want to go out and raise payroll, if you want to go out and make short-term decisions. Their plan is to play for the long term. So you mentioned it, Jeff. You're going to see, you know, a third of major league relievers possibly traded when you get down to those last couple of hours for the deadline. I think the Nationals could do well to go out, pick up some arms that are better than the PJ Poulin, Clayton Beater class that they've been running out there. But that's going to depend on their performance over the next week and a half, and particularly this series tonight. Can they make up some ground on the Diamondbacks, who have been playing well yesterday? This whole weekend in the NL, there are 9 teams clustered together in the wildcard race. 8 of them are playing each other, this being one of those series. So this is really going to be a separation weekend and a decision weekend for the trade deadline and the National League.
Let's talk about the A's and the Twins in Minnesota. Jacob Lopez taking the hill for Sacramento, I guess we're calling them. He has been going deep into starts. His ERA is north of 6. He feels like the kind of pitcher that we should be attacking tonight. Total sitting up at 9.5. Do we like the over, or is there another way to play into this?
Yeah, Jared Jones doesn't work deep in the starts because they're protecting his arm. Jacob Lopez doesn't work deep in the starts because, well, they're protecting the fans and they're sitting in the left field bleachers. He's been terrible this year. He's been bad as a starter. He's not a very good pitcher. Almost a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk ratio, which is one of those fundamental numbers you look at side of if a guy is any good. Now, going up against the Twins tonight, you know, the Twins haven't been that great against left-handed pitching. They did get Byron Buxton back earlier this week. That's certainly going to help that. But there are a lot of ways the Twins can get to 5 runs here. And that's what I've got. I've got the Twins over 4.5, paying some juice. It was 133. But you look at facing Lopez, and you look at that A's bullpen, which has just been a disaster lately. Even on the road, talking about outside of Sutter Health, outside of Las Vegas, they've given up at least 5 runs in 6 of their last 9 road games. There are just a lot of paths for this, including this game being back and forth late. The Twins had to use their best two relievers, Andrew Morris and Yohandris Gomez, in back-to-back games. I don't think either one of them is going to be available tonight behind Zebby Matthews. So you're talking about a weak Twins pen as well. So you have a game, say it's 3-2, 4-2 late. There's an excellent chance the A's can make it 4-4 and force the Twins to score that fifth run.
The Circus Survivor documentary is back, bigger than ever, with $18.7 million on the line and a new Grandissimo format raising the stakes. Missed episode one? Catch it now on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. Episode two airs this Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. Whether you play Circus Survivor or just love the drama, you won't want to miss this. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN, or catch up anytime on YouTube. Just search VSiN Live. All right, we've delayed it long enough, Joe. Let's talk a little Reds. Reds at Cardinals. Every time I have you on, we have to talk about it. You have a bet on the Reds, and it's usually not in favor of them.
Yeah, and you're supposed to kiss up to the host, but I just couldn't do it today, Jeff. You know, this is a team that has the second highest strikeout rate in baseball against right-handed pitchers. They've been incredibly disappointing offensively for the 73rd consecutive season or so. And I think today they're going to get worked by Dustin May. Now, Dustin May started the year not striking guys out. In his first seven starts, he did not strike out more than four men. Since then, he's been over 5.5 strikeouts in 8 of his 12 starts. Against right-handers this year, 39-5 strikeout-to-walk ratio. So I really like him to take him on this this Reds lineup. I have the over 5.5 strikeouts for him today. And May is also a pitcher who we may see in a different uniform by the end of next week. This is going to be very interesting. This might be his last start for the Cardinals.
So Angels Giants tonight, I'm going to be on the over for this game at 7.5, some eights around there as well. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. I'll give you my cap on that coming up later in the hour. That's a professional radio tease, by the way. These are two teams that are struggling big time. How can we attack the market with these two teams that are trying to lift themselves out of the mud here?
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to do, Brandon. I looked at the team total for the Giants, and I just don't trust their offense quite enough. It's a very low OBP offense that has to, you know, rely on slugging and rely on, you know, putting the bat on the ball. I went with a player prop here. Grayson Rodriguez against left-handers this year, 12 strikeouts and 11 walks. He's allowing a .330 expected batting average and a .560 expected slugging. So it's a matter of picking the left-handed hitter you want to go with. And, you know, the Giants have a lot of options here. You've got Luis Arraez, two singles, a double. You've got Rafael Devers, who can just do it all in one swing. I'm going with Bryce Eldridge, though, because I like the plus money here. Over 1.5 total bases at plus money, plus 136. Eldridge has been very good against right-handers this year. And here's the key for me. He's actually batting second in the lineup six straight times over the last week. So he's going to probably get two at-bats against Rodriguez. He might get three. There's a decent chance he gets a fifth plate appearance late in the game. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for opportunities to get to those two total bases. So give me Bryce Eldridge to beat up Grayson Rodriguez and that Angels bullpen over 1.5 total bases.
You know, trade deadline's pretty close around the corner here. The Giants are maybe one of those teams that might be sellers at the deadline. Luis Arraez, maybe Heliot Ramos. I'm kind of intrigued to see what they can do. I mean, we don't talk about the Giants that much, but there's a paucity of sellers on the trade market right now.
Right. Even as of today, I want to say there are just 8 teams that are outside of 5 games short of a playoff spot, which is why this weekend is going to really help define the market. We saw the Blue Jays kind of fall off the pace. We've seen, the Reds fall off the pace in recent weeks. I think the Giants are interesting because since Posey took over there, they've been about win now, signing Chapman, signing Arraez, trading for Devers. And they've got to move out of that, but the only real big ticket item they have that's not attached to a semi-bad contract is Logan Webb. I think if they want to go into a rebuild, I think they should go into a rebuild. It starts with trading their ace, Logan Webb. He's controlled for another 2 years after this. He's a legit number two, borderline number one. It gives you volume. He can start game one of a playoff series. If they want to start over, that's the guy to trade.
All right, there you have it. Joe Sheehan, as always, great appearance, great newsletter. Check out the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Go to joesheehan.com. We're going to keep talking baseball bets when we come back. My best bets, it's Dinger Friday. Brandon's best bets, stay tuned. This is Prop Points here on VSiN.
Washing Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Brandon Kravitz. It's Dinger Friday, but before we jump into Dinger Friday, got an update from the 3M Open in Minnesota. Michael Kim shot a 59 today, 12 under just today. He was only 2 under heading into the round. He is now 14 under. He's got a 3-stroke lead over Ben Coles, who is at 11 under, 62-69 for him. Jackson Koivun just turned pro. He is 10 under, as is Troy Merritt. Scottie Scheffler hasn't teed off yet today. He is at 6 under. He had a, you know, very nice round to start off the tournament there. He is T15. Plenty of low scores to be had in this tournament there. So we'll see what happens with that. Not too many big names. Scheffler is the biggest name, first in the world golf rankings, and pretty much any ranking. Next highest is 29th. So there's a pretty big gap between the one and the rest of the field. It is Dinger Friday though, Brandon. So we got a lot to tackle today.
Is it ever? I live for this. This is the reason why I wake up in the morning. So let's get to it. Royals at Tigers. Noah Cameron against Tarek Skubal. Mr. Trade Deadline himself is on the hill tonight. He's coming off of his best start of the season. He tossed 7 shutout innings in his last outing, struck out 9. And the Tigers also have someone with the last name Dingler on their team. So I feel like this is a layup for you in terms of the props. Take Skubal and
yeah, Dingler, and, right? And also the dad jokes too while we're at it. But no, Tarek Skubal has already come out and kind of said this might be his last home start as a Tiger, so we'll see what happens with that. He regrets not getting imaging over the offseason. He's been pitching better lately. The K's have been coming. The Tigers are massive favorites here, minus 266 on the money line. Can't bet that. If you want to bet the run line, you even have to bet minus money even for the run line, minus 1.5. So that's not even super advantageous. So we're not going to go with anything on that nature there. The Royals are rolling out Noah Cameron, but they're going to use an opener in front of him this time. Beck Way is going to be your opener there. Tigers did rally to win last night. They're still kind of hanging on the periphery of the wild card race in the American League and the AL Central for that matter as well, because it is the AL Central. There's 6 out there. So still possible that, but you know, they needed to do better on their most recent homestand. 4 games out of the last wild card spot. And most importantly, I think 5 teams back as well. So that makes it really tough. It is Dinger Friday. I do have a Dinger bet for you there. We're going to go with Dylan Dingler. That Dingler ate my baby. All right. He's at plus 438 on DraftKings is the best price I saw. Take a look into Spencer Torkelson as well. Cameron being a lefty. These are your two guys you want to use to go against Noah Cameron.
Yeah, big time comeback from the Tigers yesterday. We expect more explosion from them tonight. Let's talk about maybe the biggest game of the day, the Yankees at the Phillies. Cam Schlittler on the mound against Jesus Luzardo, who I know you have a love-hate relationship with. So I'm curious to see what direction we're going with in the city of brotherly love. Are we leaning into or against Mr. Luzardo?
So I really need to dig into this. He might be the most frequent Friday pitcher. It's like a college baseball schedule there. He's always on a Friday. Friday starter. Now it seems like he's just always there on Dinger Friday. He's often been my bugaboo. I've missed him a lot, but I got it right last time. We got the strikeout prop for him against the Reds, way correct on that one. And in fact, we did something where we did the total strikeouts in the game. Something we did this time. I'm just going to go on his particular strikeout prop. It's over 7.5, minus 128 at DraftKings. He's rolling 7. In his last 7 starts, Lizardo's allowed 7 earned runs, 63 Ks over his last 7 starts. Plus, in the last 30 days, the Yankees, believe it or not, have the highest strikeout rate in baseball at 27.7%. So, big strikeout pitcher against a big strikeout team. Going up against Cam Schlittler, who was not great in his last start, and has allowed more homers recently. He's only allowed 12 all season, but 7 in his last 5 starts. So we're going to go with the Philly for Dinger Friday. Bryce Harper, plus 362 over at DraftKings.
Under sitting at 7.5, juice to minus 114. I don't mind that either. That is a play in pocket for me tonight. Grant Holmes, Trevor Rogers at Camden Yards tonight as the Braves take on one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. My Baltimore Orioles, winners of 8 of their last 10, still alive in the wild card race, just 3 games back. Can a sense of urgency carry them past the Bravos tonight? And fill me in on some Ronald Acuna Jr. news as well while you're at it.
We'll do that. But first, I got to ask, why are you an Orioles guy? You're down in Florida. I know you're a Miami Dolphins guy. What explains your Orioles fandom?
I was seeing if I had the arm length to reach my Cal Ripken 2-1-3-1 ball that's sitting right up here. Okay. I was born in Baltimore, Maryland. I was born in Owings Mills, where the Ravens practice facility is. I lived there for the first 7 years of my life. I was introduced to baseball at a very young age. This was after the Colts had left town. So when I was raised on baseball and baseball alone. It wasn't until I got to Florida in the 90s when I realized the football was even a thing, because you didn't talk. It was like Voldemort in Baltimore. You did not talk about football in the late 80s.
So it's so funny because I grew up in Indianapolis, and I remember the Colts coming on the Mayflower vans in the middle of the night, just the unseemly way. And I didn't pivot to being a Bengals fan. I mean, a Colts fan. I remained a Bengals fan. My dad grew up in Ohio, raised me on the Bengals. I stayed with my own team. I didn't like the auspices and under which they came in. And of course, Peyton Manning wasn't there. It was Mike Pagel was the quarterback when it was there, you know, coming off the horrific Art Schlichter era. So, I mean, it was there was no good reason to turn and root for the Colts, who were a wretched team at the time, too. So anyways, we get that aside. Let's talk a little bit more about this Orioles Braves game. First of all, you asked about Acuna. Could be back this weekend. That's pretty huge. Grant Holmes versus Trevor Rogers. I want to focus on the starting pitching matchup here. Rogers has been really good. The last time he had a bad start was back in May. His overall numbers don't look so great because he is so horrific early on, but he's really pitching more like the pitcher we saw in the second half of last season. Braves versus left-handed pitching, they're a little below, 93 WRC plus. Obviously, not having Acuna is kind of a big deal as far as that goes. They really do miss his presence in the lineup. They did hit quite well against the Padres this past week, but that was a Griffin Canning start. This is a little bit higher in class. That was against Glass Joe. We're up to at least Piston Hurricane, maybe higher on the list here. Grant Holmes, meanwhile, hasn't thrown more than five innings since June 3rd. I wanted to try to get the under 15 and a half outs, but it was too cost prohibitive, at least at DraftKings. Shop around. If you can find anything like minus like 135 or better for the under 15 and a half outs, I'd go with that with Grant Holmes. But I'm going to be backing Trevor Rogers here. I'm taking the Orioles on the money line, minus 114 over at Bet Rivers. For Dinger Friday, let's go. We're going to go pretty chalky here. Pete Alonso, plus 350 over at FanDuel.
Yeah, definitely shop around for that Orioles money line because it's looking like that price is starting to run. Let's talk about a team that's a little bit closer to me proximity-wise. I live in Orlando, Florida, the Tampa Bay Rays, right down the highway. The Guardians have a lot of frustration that they'd like to take out on Tampa tonight. The Guardians went 0-17 with runners in scoring position yesterday against the Twins. The Rays still the top dog in the American League. How are we attacking this one with McClanahan on the mound for Tampa?
So McClanahan's been awesome. Only seven home runs allowed all season. So we won't be looking for a Guardian for Dinger Friday, even with J-Ram back there in the lineup. It may take a while for him to get back up to speed. The Rays, I mean, they're not a huge favorite there. I think you could look at the money line on the Rays as well, because I do like them at home. In fact, I'm going to add that as a play. I didn't write it in the doc, but we're making that a play right now. The Rays on the money line against the Guardians. Best price I could find was minus 126 over at Circa. So keep in mind that, you know, that might be another shifting line there as well. But I like McClanahan at home against the Guardians there. But I'm also going to focus, it's Dinger Friday. Where are we going to go for Dinger Friday? We're going to go Yandy Diaz. Yandy Diaz at home is slugging 618. 11 of his 14 homers have been at home. Going up against the lefty, you know, righty versus a lefty pitcher on the mound. Joey Cantillo has allowed 12 homers, 9 of those by right-handed hitters. Diaz is a right-handed hitter, so it seems like we got a match here. Plus 600 at Circa. I was surprised to see that price. The obvious chalk play is Junior Caminero, but, you know, obviously you're going to pay a much lower price in the 200s there. So thought I'd go with a little bit of a longer shot, see if we can get that.
All right, let's see if we can slide one more in here. Roki Sasaki against Sean Manaea, Dodgers at Mets. The Mets have lost three straight at home. They look to end that slide tonight against the Dodgers. What could go wrong?
Yeah, I picked up Sasaki just for this matchup. You never know who the Mets are going to bench. They're showcasing some of their veterans to try to trade. Soto didn't play on Wednesday. He'll probably be back today. I like Mookie Betts, though. Plus 550 for Dinger Friday at Bet Rivers, going up against Sean Manaea, who's allowed six homers in his last three starts. I have two best bets for you today. Yandy Diaz to hit that home run. I like that one quite a bit. And since it's Dinger Friday, I'll give you a bonus one. Ketel Marte against home run machine Zach Littell, who's allowed 25 homers already this season, 36 last year, plus 320 at Bet Rivers. Brandon, who do you got as your best bet?
Angels Giants over 8 at minus 104 on Profit X. Pitching on our side with Grayson Rodriguez. Wind blowing out at 11 miles an hour at Oracle. Give me the over in Giants Angels tonight.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for prop points. But don't go anywhere. Money Moves with Storni Bonatovi and JVT are up next. On today's show, they have Will Hill and Chris Jimenez talking about their best plays for baseball. Thanks, as always, for listening to Prop Points here on VSiN. Have a great weekend.